Okay, so the next topic in our series on life cycle events is Pidyon HaBen. So, mazel tov to the Madelines. We'll be making a Pidyon HaBen in a couple weeks, about 4 weeks. So the source for Pidyon HaBen, there are two sources really in the Torah. One is in Parshas Bo. If you look at source number one, the Torah tells us, V'chol peter chamor tifteh v'seh, v'lo siftev ha'arafto. That's the halacha of Pidyon peter chamor. If you have a firstborn donkey, that's not our topic tonight. And then the pasuk concludes, "V'chol bechor adam bevanecha tifte," that any human bechor, you also have to redeem. Okay, so here we have the mitzvah of redeeming a human bechor. We have very little information in this pasuk besides the fact that we have to redeem it. We don't know when, how, very, very little information. In Parshas Korach, which we just read, there's a little bit more information. There in source number 2, the Torah also tells us, Kol peterechem l'chol basar asher yakrivu la'Hashem ba'adam uva behema, whether we're talking about human beings or animals, yihiyeh lach. That should be yours, which will be important words we'll see in a few moments. Ach pado sifteh eis b'chor ha'adam ve'eis b'chor ha'behema ha'tmeh ha'tifteh. But you have to redeem, again, we're going to focus on the Adam, you have to redeem the firstborn son. And then the next pasuk helps us out a little bit more. Uftuyav mi ben chodesh tifdeh. When does the redemption? When is it supposed to take place? After a month. Mi ben chodesh. When the child is a ben chodesh, when he's a month old. Be'erkecha kesef chameshes shekalim b'shekel hakodesh. Five shekalim. And we'll learn. We'll actually talk a little bit more about this next week. But we'll learn it doesn't mean actual shekalim the way we know shekalim. Like that would be a bargain. But it's five silver coins in the way that they had it in the times of the Torah, and we have a way of calculating that, which we'll talk about a little bit next week. Now, in terms of the reasoning behind it, yes?
Question. It's interesting. In the first pasuk, the animal is mentioned first, and then man is mentioned.
Right.
And in the second pasuk, it's just the
Ba'adam uva behema.
Right.
Good point. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Good point. It's a good point. Herb, I got homework. Thank you. Okay. The Sefer Achinuch shares with us a little bit of what he thinks is the reasoning behind this mitzvah. And he writes in source number 3, there's a couple of different approaches to the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. You know, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to redeem the firstborn son? It seems like a strange type of mitzvah, right? Why do we have this mitzvah? So the Sefer Achinuch lumps it together with all first things that we have in life. And we know we have, number one, as the Torah put together, we have the concept of dedicating the firstborn animal, right? We give that to the Kohen. We have Pidyon HaBen here.
If the son is the firstborn child, that's a male, yes or no?
As opposed to what?
In other words, if somebody had a girl.
Yes, correct.
And a boy.
No, it has to be the firstborn.
Male.
It has to be the firstborn.
Correct, correct, yes.
As well.
Has to be
yes.
Before.
Yes, it has to be a bechor. Right, exactly. Okay, now, so,
how do we know bechor is limited to males and not females?
Because there's no bechor.
Well, the concept, the word bechor always means firstborn male. That's what the word means.
And a firstborn female would be bechorah?
Yes, right, yeah.
Not to be confused with the term bechor when it comes to makas, bechorin.
Well, it's the same word.
It's the same word, but it
means the firstborn.
Makas bechoros. Sometimes girls were affected.
Okay, right. We had that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Different concept.
Right,
same
right,
word,
right.
Different concept.
Exactly, right. So the we also have the concept we know of bikurim, okay, which also comes from the same word as bechor. Bikurim means your first fruit. So when a farmer has harvests his field, and he has his first fruit. So we know he's supposed to bring the first fruit to Yerushalayim. So the Sefer Achinuch lumps all of these mitzvahs together and says the concept behind all of these mitzvahs is exactly the same. Misharshe mitzvah zu, the roots of this mitzvah, Sheratz Hashem lezakosenu la'asos mitzvah bereishis pirienu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do a mitzvah with our first fruit, our first children. L'mandaz ki hakol shelo. And what's the purpose of this mitzvah? To inculcate in us that everything belongs to God. Everything really belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'ein lo adam davar ba'olam rak ma she'ichalek lo Hashem yizbarach b'chasodav. And the only things that we have in this world are really because of the kindness of Hashem. Whatever Hashem has given us. So if He gave us produce, we have produce. If He gave us children, we have children. Whatever He's given us in this world, that's what we have. V'yavin zebir oso ki achar sheyageya ha'odom kama yigios v'torach kama terachim ba'olamo. V'yigia lezman she'asa pri. And here a person, certainly when it comes to bikurim, when you focus on the produce, the farmer toiled. He plowed the field. He sowed the seeds. He harvested. He shvitzed. He worked hard in the field. And now finally, his crops are producing fruit. And he collects that fruit. V'chaviv alav reishis piryo kivavas eino. Right, that first fruit that blossoms is precious to the farmer. So too, obviously, with Lahavdil, when it comes to children. Right, the first child that a person has, that's a very precious, not that the other children are not as precious, but there's something special about that first one, the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses you with a child. Miyad knows no the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the idea is, as precious as it is, I'm willing to part with it for the Ribono Shalom, to recognize that it's not really mine, that everything that I have really comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And kaviyachol, it's as if we're relinquishing our ownership. Right? We're giving it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're taking the fruit, we're giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're taking this firstborn son, we're kaviyachol, dedicating him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Od, so that's one concept where he lumps again the idea of the Bechor, of redeeming the firstborn with the idea of Bikurim, to recognize that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ode, he says, an additional reason, and this is specifically for Pidyon HaBen, Lizkor HaNeis HaGadol She'asa Lanu HaShem Yisbarach B'Vechorei Mitzrayim She'hargam Hitzilonu Mi'adam. Another, an additional reason, is to remember the tremendous miracle that we experienced in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed all of the Bechorim, He spared all of the Bechorei B'nei Yisrael, and therefore we have to be poded that Bechor, we have to redeem that Bechor to remember that incredible Neis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in Mitzrayim. So we have one concept, which is recognizing that everything comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a second concept, that says the Sefer HaChinuch, that is just to remember the miracle in Mitzrayim. Those are two of the ideas behind this mitzvah. There's a fascinating Zohar, which might also relate to the Zohar doesn't relate it to Mitzrayim, but if you think about it, it might be related. And the Zohar writes that we have a mitzvah to redeem our sons. The Zohar is very difficult to read. It's in very difficult Aramaic. The Gemara is written in a little bit of a, like a Hebraicized, like a yeshivish Aramaic. So it's a little bit easier to decipher. The Zohar is written in very, very difficult Aramaic. But the Zohar writes in source 4, Pekuda Telesar, right, the 13th commandment, Lameavat Purkana Libre Likashara Lebechai, to redeem your firstborn. Why? Listen to what he says. Listen to what the Zohar says. Likashara Lebechai, to bind it with eternal life, to bind this child to life. What does that mean? To train memanon ninhu chad chayin v'chad mavsa. Since every firstborn child has two almost angels that are created with it. One is for chayim, and one is for rachman olitzlan for mavis. One is for life, and one is for death. Almost like the malach mavis, right? Born with this child. V'kayamin alei debarnosh, and they're like, so to speak, appointed at the sides of this child, v'kad yifrok barnosh librei miyada de'ahum mavsa, parik lei v'lo yachil l'shalta alei. And what you do when you redeem this son is you, so to speak, you relinquish any rights that this malach hamavas has over the child. So for whatever reason, the firstborn son is created with these two malachim, the malach hamavas and the malach hachayim. So I thought maybe the connection is because of the Neis in Mitzrayim, that maybe because of the Neis in Mitzrayim, there is some sort of a din on Bechorim, there's some sort of a judgment on Bechorim, and we have to be careful, right? It's not like we got off, but it's not so simple. There's still something there, and therefore we each created with this Malach HaMavis with us, and therefore, says the Zohar, that in order to shoo away the Malach HaMavis, right, to cut him loose, so we have to redeem this child. It's almost like the idea of binding this child, you know, giving this child life, you know, and freedom from the Malach HaMavis. So that's another idea that the Zohar shares about the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. The third idea that I saw, which was fascinating, this is from a Sefer on Chumash called Todos Yisrael, and he quotes a few other Sfarim. He quotes a Yalkut. He quotes some other Sfarim. I couldn't find it in the original, but in this Sefer he writes that this mitzvah Pidyon HaBen is really symbolic. It's really symbolic. It symbolizes our relationship, B'nai Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? So says the Toldos Yisrael in the name of the Yalkut. Amra Knesset Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata Kirasani Bini Bechori Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the Jewish people Bini Bechori. You're my firstborn son. Right? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the Jewish people in the Torah. The Anu Banecha Ve'ata Avinu. We're your firstborn son and you're our father. Ve'aminan Bekidushin Hei Dvarim Chayav Ha'av V'chulei Lemula V'lifdoso. And we read in Maseches Kiddushin that the father is obligated to do certain mitzvahs to the son. One of them is a bris milah, and another one is a pidyon haben. So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're obligated to do a pidyon haben for us. Lifdos osanu mibein haumos. What's the pidyon haben of the Jewish people? When you redeem us from the nations of the world. That right now, we're so to speak, we're in galus. Right now, we're in captivity. We're subjugated by the nations of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're b'ni b'chor Yisrael. We're your b'chor. So that means that we have to that you have to redeem us, just like a father redeems his son. You have to redeem us from the nations of the world. A beautiful symbolism of the mitzvah of pidyon haben, that it's really symbolic of the relationship between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's symbolic of our hope and our prayers that the galus should end, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should redeem us, just like this father is redeeming his son. So those are a few different reasons behind the mitzvah of pidyon haben.
I thought also originally the bechor was to be chosen to be the commander.
Right.
The eagle who was given over to the Levium, and therefore, since they were once Mukdash to be Kohanim,
right,
so to speak, they have to be part of them. Because
right,
though,
right,
Hashem took it away, but he was still,
right,
Mukdash at one point.
Right, so that happens. We're actually going to see a few Psukim a little bit later. So in the Torah, that actually happens, right? Where Moshe Rabbeinu redeems the Bechorim. But the concept of each and every Bechor for eternity being redeemed, you know, it sounds like from these, you know, Mefarshim at least is more related to that. Maybe there are some who say that also, who connect it to that original, you know, pidyon that Moshe Rabbeinu did. So the Shulchan Aruch mentions a couple of interesting halachos, which many people are familiar with. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 6 that this only applies to a regular, normal delivery, a natural delivery. But a Yotzei Dofen, which is a cesarean section, a C-section, but if, let's say, the firstborn son, you have a firstborn son, but he's born through a C-section, so then, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, not only the Yotzei Dofen, but even the child, let's say a child is born naturally after the Yotzei Dofen. So the firstborn son is a C-section. The secondborn is a son, and he comes out naturally. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, Shnehem Pturim. They're both Pater. Right, they're both exempt.
Why would you think that?
Harishon. Well, you might think, because you might think that the second one is really he's the Peter Rechem.
No, but he's the not a Bechor
anymore. He's, so right, okay, so. So, okay, good, good. Okay, so that's the halacha. That's, yeah, the halacha. But you might think that maybe it's dependent on Peter Rechem alone,
right,
and maybe this child is the Peter Rechem. He's the one who came out of the womb. But either one. But writes the Shulchan Aruch, Harishon, Mipnei Shelo Yatza Meharechem. The first one is exempt. The C-section, because he didn't come out the normal way from the womb. He's not a Peter Rechem. Pidyon Haben. You don't need to do a Pidyon Haben. He's a Bechor. He's a Bechor. He has certain halachos of Bechor. For example, he would have to fast on Erev Pesach. For inheritance, he has halachos of Bechor. But for Pidyon Haben, he's not considered a Bechor. Why? Why? Because the Torah writes, Peter Rechem. Right, the Torah refers to it as Peter Rechem. Okay? right, if you look at source number 2, if you look back at source number 2, the Pasuk said, Kol Peter Rechem, all those who come out of the womb in the normal way. So even though technically a C-section also came out of the womb, but he was really removed from the womb in a different way. It's actually an interesting shaila I saw discussed, that what happens if the baby is a natural delivery, but it's a doctor-assisted delivery.
I think,
right? Forceps, what do they call it? The plunger, the yeah, suction thing, right? So what happens? So sometimes you have the baby's not coming out, right? So the doctor's gotta, you know, do a little something to help.
It's just like slipping them out with your hands. I mean, so, yeah, deliver,
right, 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 yeah. So that, I mean, that's a shiloh. But some want to say that a C-section is also Peter Rechem, and he also comes out of the Rechem. You're opening up the Rechem. You're doing more.
It's not a natural, it's not the natural
correct
opening of it.
Correct, correct. But what about, correct. But again, but the language of Peter Rechem is not so clear. What does Peter Rechem mean? Peter Rechem means you're,
it means the natural opening of the womb.
So that's the conclusion of this, you know, if he has that shaila. But there are those who want to make the argument that it means natural delivery, meaning that the baby comes out naturally. You know, the mother pushes the baby out, and not that the doctor's, you know, yanking the baby out or schlepping the baby out. But it's just an interesting side point. And then the second one writes the Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, the second child is not considered the Bechor, because even though the first one came out a C-section, but the second one, it doesn't, you know, the second one is not the Bechor, so he's not subject to the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. If you look in source number 7, this is what Shlomi alluded to before, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kohanim u'Leviim p'turim p'Pidyon HaBen. Right? Kohanim and Leviim are exempt from Pidyon HaBen. Right? So if a Kohen has a firstborn son, no Pidyon HaBen. Right? If a Levi has a firstborn son, no Pidyon HaBen. Not only that, V'afilu Kohenes u'Leviim nesu'a li'Yisrael. A Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi, you have a daughter of a Kohen or a daughter of a Levi, who has a firstborn son, also exempt, right? Ina ben chayiv bepidyon she'ein hadavar toloi be'av ela be'ein, because it all goes by the mother, and we'll see about that in a minute. She'nemar peterechem beYisrael, right? The focus is on the mother coming out of the womb of the mother. So since the focus is on the mother, it all depends on her status, not the father's status. So the father could be a Yisrael, but if the mother is the daughter of a Levi, or the mother is the daughter of a Kohen, so in terms of the mitzvah pidyon haben, we look at the mother's status. And therefore, Kohen and Levi is not subject to this mitzvah, because, like Shlomi alluded to before, that you know, perhaps, first of all, in Mitzrayim, maybe they weren't subject to it, but also the Kohanim do the avoda, right? And even though, like you're saying, that would allude to the fact that this mitzvah Pidyon HaBen is related to that the loss of the avoda at the hands of the Bechorim, the Kohanim still are doing the avoda, and the Levim are still doing their share of the avoda. So that's why Kohanim and Levim are exempt from the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. A very interesting shaila raised by the Gemara. I mean, I brought the Shulchan Aruch here, just quotes the halacha, but it's raised by the Gemara already. What happens if a person, I mean, Baruch Hashem, now everybody's married to one wife, right? I think that's the case in here. Okay, everybody's married to one wife. Now, it used to be that we were a polygamous people, right? Like we have, well, like there are other people in the world like that. So what happens if a person has multiple wives? Okay, a person has multiple wives, and each one has a firstborn. Does it go by the father, or does it go by the mother?
According to what you said, it goes with the mother.
Very good. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara raises this question, and the Gemara says it goes by the mother. Why? Because again, the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, the entire focus is on the mother, Peterechem.
So in that case,
five Pidyon HaBens. If you have five wives, and each one, yeah, and each one has. Now again, for Nachala, for inheritance, it goes by the father.
Right.
When it comes to inheritance, it goes by the father, and he has only one Bechor.
But Bechorim as not by inheritance, but...
When it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it goes by the mother. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch writes in source number 8. Ein Pidyon HaBechor taloi ela bepeter rechem, shim eino Bechor la'eim, af apishu Bechor la'av, eino chayev bepidyon. Right? Or let's say you have a woman who's been married before. Okay, and now she marries a single guy, never been married, and they have a child. So for her, it's not her firstborn, but for him, it is the firstborn. No pidyon haben, right? Because it all goes by the mother. She already had a child. She had a peterechem already. Doesn't matter that it's his bechor. For again, for inheritance, that's his bechor, right? That's going to be his bechor. But when it comes to pidyon haben, it's not dependent on him.
You're saying now that Ben Cohen or Ben Levi should go, if the mother's Israel, she should go according to the mother. Unless you come on to what I say, then it's still...
Correct. It's still related to that reason.
Right.
That's what it seems. Right. You're right. Correct. Right. V'im yesh lo kama nashim, that's what I mentioned before. If a person has multiple wives, v'yesh lo b'chor mikol achas v'yachas chayiv liftos es kulam, that can get expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it can get expensive. Shlomo HaMelech, you know, it can...
That's what happens. You marry more than one wife.
It gets expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, the question is when to do this mitzvah. So when do we do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? So you'll tell me, what does the Torah say? 30 days. Ben Chodesh, right? The 30 days. So which day? The 30th day?
The
31st day? The 29th day? Yeah. Well, you know, which day are we talking about? First of all, how long is a Jewish month, really?
29 days,
right? So technically speaking, the Jewish month is a lunar month, and the lunar cycle is 29 days. I believe, I forget, 13 hours, and Tuf Shin Sadi Gimel Chalakim. Right? That's the precise, the Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, that's the precise, I don't remember the number of hours offhand. Yud Beis, I'm sorry. Right, the Bach mentions it. 12 hours. Okay, so 29 days, 12 hours, and Tav Shin Sadi Gimel, which is 793 Halakim. Okay, that is the precise cycle of the lunar month. So lunar month is technically over then. Now we can't compute that on a monthly basis. So that's why we have some months are Mele, some months are 30 days, some months are 29 days. Right, you know, we have the concept of.
Bris Mila is on the 8th day. You do it on the morning of the 8th day. It's Mitzvah Kekula. By Shiva, by Bris Mila, it's always Mitzvah
Kekula. Well, one second. Right. Well, okay. So when it comes to Mila, the idea is that we don't say it's not Mitzvah Sayom Kekula because Mila has to be done on the 8th day.
Right.
It's not after 8 days. Shiva, you have to have 7 days of Shiva. So on the 7th day. We say you can get up in the morning because you observed part of the day. So Mitzvah Sayom Kekula, you observe part of the day, it's considered that you observe the whole day. Shloshim, we say the same thing.
Right?
Mila is different. Mila is a different idea. Mila just has to be done on the 8th day. Because here we don't have a number of days. So which day is it? It says Ben Chodesh. So what's the Chodesh? So is it on the 29th day? Do you do it after the 29 days, 12 hours, Tavshin, Sadi, Gimel, Chalakim? Is that when you do it? Or do you do it after, or is it after the 30 days? That's the question. So the Bach, here in source number 9, we'll see there's actually a multitude of opinions regarding this. It's very complicated, you know, when exactly to schedule the Pidyon HaBet. Ubismak, the Bach quotes a smak, one of the Rishonim, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. Kosev etzarech livdosob yom shloshim ve'echad. The smak writes that you're supposed to do it on the 31st day. So that means after a month, right? On the 31st day, excuse me, that's when you do Pidyon HaBet. And if you do it on the 30th day, writes the smak, or before that, it doesn't work. You got to do it again. It didn't work, right? You tried to do the mitzvah, you tried to redeem it, but it's you can't do it before the 31st day. However, writes the Bach, umiu nire, the lav dafka shloshim ve'echad. He said, when he said 31, he didn't really mean 31. The smak didn't really mean 31 when he said 31. What he meant was a full month has to pass. And what's called me'es le'es, right? Literally, minute to minute. Right? Minute to minute. A full month, minute to minute, really has to pass. Really, what you need is 29 days, 12 hours, and Tavshin Sadi Gimel Chalakim, you need that amount of time to elapse. Okay? Again, Me'es Leis, from the time that the baby is born, right? You clock it at 7 o'clock in the morning, the baby was born on whatever date it was. Okay? Fast forward now 29 days, 12 hours, Tavshin Sadi Gimel Chalakim. A full month has passed since the birth of this baby. V'yachagach Yischayev Pinyon. Writes the Bach. That's what the smak means. It means a full month. And there are those who say that after 29 days, 12 hours, and Tavshin Sadi Gimel Chalakim, may ace la ace from the time that the baby is born, once that time has elapsed, time for Binyan Aben. A full month has elapsed.
That's why people do it at night.
We'll talk a little bit about that, right? We'll talk about that. And he writes, the fact that he wrote 31, he said he wasn't really being specific, he didn't really mean 31, he just meant after the complete, after a complete month, and you know, obviously depending on when a child is born, so sometimes that will throw things off a little bit. He didn't want people to make a mistake. If you look at source number 10, so he also, the Noda B'Yehuda, Rav Yecheskel Landau, so he also writes that L'chatchila, you can be Podeh son after 29 days, 12 hours, and Tavshin Sadi Gimel Chalakim, no problem. There's an opinion of the Chasam Sofer on the other extreme that says you have to wait actually for the 32nd day. You have to wait for like the complete, you know, literally, the month has to pass, and then, you know, after that, then you start the next day. That's when you could do the pidyon. The Shulchan Aruch picks the middle of the road. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 11, he writes, "Ein habuchor ra'uy lepidyon ad sheyavru alav shloshim yo." He says the 30 days. That's when the bechor is ra'uy lepidyon. And that's the general practice, even though there are different opinions. Some say 29 and change, some say 31, there's even an opinion that says 32. But the general practice is that 30 days later, right, literally 30 days later, we do the Pidyon HaBen.
So So you do the ninth
and on the 30th. And on that third, on that, well, so we'll talk about it. On the 30th day, we try to do it earlier in the day. It's the reason Makdim in the mitzvah. So we'll talk about it at night in a second. But that's when we try to do it. Now, what if the 30th day falls out on Shabbos? Can you do the Pinyin Rabbanan on Shabbos?
No, you have money.
You can't do it. You have money, right? Why is money muktzah? Just as an aside. Why can't we use money?
Mecha Chumemka.
Good, right, exactly. So if you look at, if you continue in the Shulchan Aruch, so he writes...
The Kenyan itself is Mecha Chumemka. It's a Kenyan.
Correct. Right.
But if it says... Why don't we use the same logic?
Well, okay, so it says Mila again. It does. See, this we have to be careful because when it comes to Mila, the Torah says Bayom Hashmini Yimol Basar Olo. So it tells you the exact day. Right. When it comes to Pinyin Rabbanan, it doesn't tell us a day. It tells us a month.
That's it.
Right? It means Ben Chodesh. The child has to be a Ben Chodesh. That means the child has to be a month old. Yeah. Child has to be a month old. Right. So Mila, which specifies a specific day, and we have Drushas and Chazal, which teach us that if it's specifying a specific day, that means that even on Shabbos, it's even Doruch HaShabbos, Bayom HaShmini, even if it's Shabbos.
Right.
But when it comes to Pinyin Rabbanan, we don't have that, because all it says is Mi Ben Chodesh. The child has to be a month old. So we don't want to delay the mitzvah. As soon as the kid is a month old, we want to do the mitzvah. But if it falls out on Shabbos, we don't have this drush and chazal that it's Doruch HaShabbos, right? I mean, it's not a Del Raisa anyway, the Pidyon. But writes the Shulchan Aruch, Vimchal... Okay, so we'll come to that in 1 second. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, "V'imchal yom lamed aleph lihios b'Shabbos." He says, if it falls out on Shabbos, so then ein podin also b'Shabbos ela yamtin ad yom rishon. Right? You do the pidyon on yom rishon. Okay. Now it's a question what yom rishon means. Now the Shach writes in source number 12, why don't we do pidyon aben on Shabbos? Because it's mekach u'memkar. Right? Again, now originally, by the way, it used to be, it's very interesting if you think about this in terms of Jewish history, it used to be, before Chazal made the decree that you cannot do business on Shabbos, people did business. Right? Now again, you couldn't do malacha. Malacha is prohibited in Midah Oraisa. So you weren't allowed to write, you weren't allowed to chop wood, you weren't allowed to do malachos, lamites malachos. But business, right? Could I sell, could I sell a table on Shabbos? Midah Oraisa. Am I allowed to sell a table on Shabbos? Dining room set. I want to sell it. Midoraisa, you're allowed to. It doesn't say in the Torah you can't sell on Shabbos. It says you can't do lamites malachos. Selling a dining room table is not one of the lamites malachos. So it used to be that there were business transactions going on Shabbos. But then Chazal saw that what was happening?
Zilzul
Shabbos. Everybody came to shul. And nobody was, nobody was paying attention to the laning. Everybody was making business deals, right? Mishnah Shabbos Kerev, but he didn't even have to say that then, right? So, but literally, people were just doing business on Shabbos. Okay, so the wood chopper had to, he had to be shoves on Shabbos. You know, the certain people, you know, the builder, the contractor, so he had to rest on Shabbos.
You want to make a kinyan on Shabbos?
But technically, midah oraisa, there's no problem. Midah Oraisa, there's no problem, right? So Midah Rabbanan, the Rabbanan came along and they said, you can't do any of that stuff, right? Okay, theoretically, you could do Mashiach inside of a house, right? You don't have to do Mashiach from one Rishus to another. So you're right, if you would violate a Del Raisa, you'd violate the Hotza or something like that, it's a problem. But in most cases, so all of these business transactions were all permitted on Shabbos. The Rabban came along and said, you can't do it because, you know, we're losing the flavor of Shabbos. You know, so you can't do any of these things on Shabbos. And one of the reasons also why they prohibited business transactions was because they thought that it might come to right. Right? You might come to write things down. Because what happens? You know, you have an IOU. So you make a business transaction and you want to, you know, you want to write down what was the price that we agreed upon. Right? What were the terms of the deal, terms of the agreement? So people would write things down on Shabbos. So we didn't want people to write down. Writing things is that's a malacha, right? Kosev is a malacha midah oraisa. So therefore, that was also part of the reason why they made this gzeira that you can't do mekach u'memkar on Shabbos. Now, once you can't do mekach u'memkar on Shabbos, writes the Shach, that's why you can't do pidyon aben on Shabbos. So again, it's really midah rabbanan. The problem is really a derabbanan problem. Yeah. That's a good question. It's a machlokas. The Rambam brings a machlokas if you could do it on Chol HaMoed or not. I'm not sure how we paskin.
So let's say, according to opinion, it says, no, you might be doing it like the 38th or 39th.
Technically, right. But again, because the Torah says, Mi Ben Chodesh, so we have a little bit of leeway. Now, it doesn't mean that you should be lazy about it. right? There are some who hold, there are some shittas who hold your mevatel mitzvah saseh, that if you don't do it right then, you lose the mitzvah, you know, you don't lose it. You could do it afterwards, but you're doing something wrong.
But is
Pidyon HaBen Deoraisa or Derabanan? Pidyon HaBen is Deoraisa. But the Torah is a little bit ambiguous as to what day it should be on.
Right.
It says mi ben chodesh. So the Torah gives us a little bit of leeway. Now we Chazal understand that mi ben chodesh means do it right away when the kid becomes a ben chodesh. But Chazal said don't do it on Shabbos because since we have a mekach u'memkar issue, right? And the Torah does not say it has to be done on the 30th day. So therefore, do it on the 31st day. Don't schlep it around. You know, do it on the 31st day. And again, that might get into the Chol HaMoed question.
So if somebody did it on the 33rd or 34th day,
you're still Yotze. You're still Yotze. Yeah, if you do it early, you're not Yotze. Because Torah says, Mi Ben Chodesh. But if you do it on the 33rd, 34th, let's say, you know, a person forgot, right? You know, somebody forgot or something like that, you know, whatever. Okay, or they miscalculated and they ended up doing it on the 33rd day or the 32nd day, you know. So you're still Yotze, the mitzvah pinyon aben. You know, you didn't, okay, it's not Zerizim Akdim in the mitzvos, you know, you didn't do it as early as possible, but you are still Yotze if you do it late. But, you know, it's better to do it early. Okay, he also writes, interestingly, so this Shlomi alluded to this, that the Shulchan Aruch says if you can't do it on Shabbos, so you do it on Yom Rishon. So when on Yom Rishon? Motzei Shabbos or Sunday? Right, so he writes that technically near the podin nami balayla, so technically you should be able to do it at night. But he concludes miu noagin liftos bayom. The minag is, he says, that generally we do it during the day. Most pidyon abens, I believe, if you look around, most people do it during the day. They don't do it on the night of the 30th day, even if it's a me'es leis, even if you have, you know, the me'es leis, the minute to minute 30 days. People still generally wait for during the daytime. That's the minhag, but you can do it at night. You can do it at night. But that is the that's what the Shach writes in terms of the minhag. Now it's interesting. You know, we know that one of the most fundamental parts of the Pidyon HaBen is the Kohen, right? What are you what are you doing? You're giving this money to the Kohen, right? Mm-hmm. Where does it say that in the Torah? Does it say anywhere in the Pesukim that you're supposed to do this with a Kohen? No. Where does it say that that's done by a Kohen, right? So it's the Torah again. This is very interesting because that one of the main aspects of Pidyon HaBen is that you got to get this Kohen to redeem the child. Meanwhile, the Torah doesn't say a word about a Kohen, right? In either Parshas Bo, Parshas Korach, doesn't say a word about a Kohen. What it is, but the question is, where does it come from? When does it come from? So there actually is a machlokas what the origin of this obligation to give it to the Kohen is. The Rambam writes in source number 13 in Hilchos Bikurim, where he discusses the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. He writes v'chein Pidyon HaBen lezichrei kahuna. He writes this is one of the matnos kahuna. We know there are 24 gifts that us the Jewish people have to give to the Kohanim. So this is one of them. You should give the money to Aaron and his sons. Now, where is this pasuk? So, if you look at source number 14, I brought the pesukim. I brought about four or five pesukim here in Parshas Bamidbar, and this is the parsha in the Torah where Hashem commands Moshe to take the Levim and to redeem them. Right, where we discussed before, that Moshe is literally redeeming the Bechorim of the Jewish people and replacing them with the Levim. Right, that story that happened in Parshas Bamidbar. And in that story in Parshas Bamidbar, the Torah writes that Moshe is supposed to use five shkalim, right, for each head, for each person. And who does he give the money to? V'nasata akesef la'aron ulabanav. So the Rambam writes that when the Torah records that, that wasn't just a mitzvah for right then and there for Moshe to give that money to Aaron and Lubanov, but that was also a commandment that for Lidoros, for eternity, whenever the Jewish people do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, which is similar to this mitzvah pidyon. Again, it wasn't identical. It's not identical to what's going on here. Here there was a certain transfer between the Levium and the Bechorim. That's not what's going on in a pidyon aben. But since it's a similar type of mitzvah, the Rambam understands that this pasuk is teaching us for eternity that these five slugim, that these five shekel, go to the Kohen. That's the Rambam source. The Yoreim, though, understands it differently. The Yoreim in source number 15 writes that, no, it's based on the pasuk which we had back in source number 1, source number 2 in Parshas Korach, where the Torah says, Kopeta Rechem, etc., Yihiyeh Loch. So who's the Loch? So writes the Yoreim, and the others quote this in the name of Rashi as well, Ula Kohanim Ko'amar Kro. That the pasuk is talking to the Kohanim. So the pasuk is talking to the Kohanim and is saying to the Kohanim, Yihiyeh Loch, that this Pidyon, right, the Peter Chamor, goes to you, right? That's the source for the Pidyon Peter Chamor going to the Kohen. And not only that, but also the five Sloim of the Pidyon Aben also goes to the Kohen. That's Yehloch. So according to the Yoreim, that's the source of the mitzvah. Now some are familiar with the fact that some have a hakpada. Some are meticulous to try to find a Kohen Miyuchas, right? A Kohen who can trace his ancestry back and knows, 1,000% that he is a legitimate Kohen, and some people like to use this type of Kohen for the mitzvah of Pidyon Aben.
So how do you do that?
How can you trace your Yichus back?
The Kohen gene.
I don't know, but apparently there are some families who can trace themselves back to, I don't know, to Aaron, or they can trace themselves back.
There's a gene
marking
now for Kohen.
Yeah, I heard about that, but there are some families who have these family trees. I can't trace myself back a few generations, but there are Kohanim. There are people. I mean, you have people who can trace themselves back to David HaMelech. People have ways of tracing themselves back. So the Yaivitz writes that a person should try to be careful about this. V'chein yaseh harosa l'daktik b'mitzvah. If you want to be careful about the mitzvah, u'liftos ha'idei Kohanim rabim shiuchalim. So he says not only that, he says, but the Yaivitz has a chumrah that you should try do this multiple times. You should be poda your son multiple times. Every Kohen that you meet, give him five slime. Why? Because maybe Ula Yisramin Le Miyuchas Vadai. Because maybe one of the Kohanim will be a real Kohen.
Yavitz wasn't a Kohen, was he?
I'm sorry?
Was he a Kohen?
No, I don't think so. He has a business interest. V'yeshom she'en oniri says some are not happy about this. The story goes that the Gra did this. I think he was a Bechor, and he used to go around, and every Kohen that he would meet, he would give him five slaim to be poda himself, because he was worried about this. He wanted to make sure that he got a kohen miyuchas. I'm sorry.
Can he make a bracha?
No, probably not. I don't think so. But he would do this each and every time. The legend is that he did it until he met a Rappaport, until he met a kohen that was a Rappaport. Why? Because many of us are familiar with the fact that the Rappaport kohanim are known to be miyuchas. They're known to be especially miyuchas. I recently read an article, coincidentally, there's no true coincidence, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu put it in my head, but I recently, a week or two ago, I read an article, and I wasn't preparing for this, I just was reading an article about somebody was writing an article about Kohanim, and he wrote that the name Rappaport comes from two families. I forget now the exact last name, something, maybe one was Raps and one was Port or something like that, and two families married each other. They married into each other. I guess the Chassan and the Kala, and each one independently knew how to trace themselves back to Aaron HaKohen. Right? There was a Bas Kohen and a Kohen, and each one could trace themselves back to Aaron HaKohen. And therefore, we know now that any Rappaports that are Kohanim, there are some Rappaports, by the way, who are not Kohanim, but any Rappaports that are Kohanim come from this family, and they're considered to be Miyuchasim. The Aruch HaShulchan was very unhappy about this. He didn't like this chumrah. And he said, that if you look at source number 17, and just what this will conclude, he writes at the end, he says, V'kevan shalakulam ein ksav yichus. He says, we don't have this nowadays. He says, we don't have Kohanim walking around with a family tree that goes back to Aaron HaKohen. He says, ein kan reyes haklal kemavur sham. He says, nobody's, you don't have to assume that any Kohen is not a legitimate Kohen. And he writes, Chalila, Chalila. La'asos ba'zeh eizeh safek. He says, Chalila, to say that a Kohen is, that there's some sort of a doubt about the legitimacy of a Kohen. Chalila. He says a Kohen has a cheskas kahuna, he has a chazaka that he's a Kohen, that's it. Right? You assume he's a Kohen and finished. He says, you can't, Chalila, to start making sfeikos, that maybe the Kohen is not really a Kohen and he should be poded with different Kohanim, and therefore the Aruch HaShulchan was very upset about this this type of a Chumrah. There are those nowadays who try, when they make a pinyon on a ben, to try to find the Kohen Miyuchas, to try to find the Rappaport Kohen, but it's not required. It's some are machmir like that, it's not required. You can be poda, and any Kohen that has a Chezkas Kahuna, you can assume is good for the mitzvah, and you can use that Kohen. I remember when I was making my pinyon on a ben, so I asked my rav at the time about this shah, and he told me, he said, some are machmir for it, but he said you can use anyone. My brother-in-law, he's a Kohen, so I wanted to use my brother-in-law, but he couldn't make it. So once he couldn't make it, I said, okay, I'll find the Rappaport. Once I have to find someone, I might as well find the Rappaport. So I did it in the Catskills. It was over the summer, actually. It was during the 3 weeks. So I did it in the Catskills. So I found some Rappaport that was nearby, and I used a Rappaport Kohen. But it's a Chumrah. It's not something that's necessary. And certainly if you have a friend that's a Kohen, or you have a family member that's a Kohen, and you want to be mechabed him with this mitzvah, it's certainly a beautiful thing to do. The Yavetz has one other chumrah, and he says it's good to have a kohen who's a Talmud Chacham. And the Yavetz actually writes that if you know that a kohen Talmud Chacham is coming to town, you know he's not here yet. You know it's the 30th day, and the kohen Talmud Chacham is not here yet. But you know in a couple of days he's coming to town. The Yavetz writes you should push off the pinyon abed, big chiddush. But the Yavetz says you should push off the pidyon aved. It says ben chodesh, so we have some flexibility. He says a kohen talmud chacham is a big schus. He says you should push off the pidyon aved and try to get that kohen talmud chacham when he comes in a couple of days. The minhag, you know, we don't do these kind of things. We don't, that's not the minhag. We do it on the 30th day. You find any good upstanding kohen. I mean, he should be a good person. But you find any good upstanding kohen and you use that kohen, and then you certainly fulfill the mitzvah.
So
yeah.
Now, going back to the point I said before. Why do we look to do it in the late afternoon?
Okay, so there is a minhag like that. Not everybody agrees to that minhag, by the way. There are those who say, Zerizim Makdim in the mitzvah, so you should do it in the morning. Right? This is the opposite. You know, as soon as the 30th day comes, you do it in the morning of the 30th day. There are some who have the minhag to do it late afternoon. I'm not sure what the reason of. I think it might have to do something, you know, with you know, you don't want people to make mistakes, and you want to make sure that you have. Well, you have to have the mace lace anyway, but usually by the time the 30th day comes, you have the mace lace, because anyways, it's 29:12 and Tafshan Sadi Gimel. So. Yeah, correct, yeah. But, so it could be that they just wanted to make sure that, like, everybody, that people wouldn't make mistakes and nobody would do it too early. So they just said if everybody does it by the, you know, later in the day, so then even babies born later, you know, you'll always have the, you know, you'll never have an issue. But there is a minhag to do it later in the day, but not everybody agrees to that. There are some who say you should do it, you know, earlier in the day. Okay, yeah.
But if the baby boy, God forbid, doesn't survive 30 days...
We'll talk about that next week, Emir Tashem. Okay. Next week we'll talk about the procedure of the Pidyon HaBen. We'll talk about the 5 slayim that are used, and we'll talk about that shaila also, which is a tragic but an interesting shaila. Okay, Shkoyach.